Today's readings are taken from 1 Corinthians 14, verses 1 to 5 and 26 to 33. Follow the way of love and eagerly desire gifts of the Spirit, especially prophecy. For anyone who speaks in a tongue does not speak to people but to God. Indeed, no one understands them. They utter mysteries by the Spirit. But the one who prophesies speaks to people for their strengthening, encouraging and comfort. Anyone who speaks in a tongue edifies themselves, but the one who prophesies edifies the church. I would like every one of you to speak in tongues, but I would rather have you prophesy. The one who prophesies is greater than the one who speaks in tongues, unless someone interprets, so that the church may be edified. What then shall we say, brothers and sisters? When you come together, each of you has a hymn or a word of instruction, a revelation, a tongue or an interpretation. Everything must be done so that the church may be built up. If anyone speaks in a tongue, two or at the most three, should speak one at a time, and someone must interpret. If there is no interpreter, the speaker should keep quiet in the church and speak to himself and to God. Two or three prophets should speak, and the others should weigh carefully what is said. And if a revelation comes to someone who is sitting down, the first speaker should stop. For you can all prophesy in turn, so that everyone may be instructed and encouraged. The spirits of prophets are subject to the control of prophets. For God is not a God of disorder, but of peace, as in all the congregation of the Lord's people. And the second reading is Psalm 95. Come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before him with thanksgiving and extol him with music and song. For the Lord is the great God, the great King above all gods. In his hand are the depths of the earth, and the mountain peaks belong to him. The sea is his, for he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. Come, let us bow down in worship. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, the flock under his care. Today, if only you would hear his voice. Do not harden your hearts as you did at Meribah, as you did that day at Massah in the wilderness, where your ancestors tested me. They tried me, though they had seen what I did. For 40 years I was angry with that generation. I said, they are a people whose hearts go astray, and they have not known my ways. So I declared on oath in my anger, they shall never enter my rest. This is the word of the Lord.
For those who don't know me, my name is Rob. I'm the vicar and mission leader here at the Church of Christ the King in Kettering. And it's my privilege to have a go at unpacking this subject of the Holy Spirit and prophecy. So let's pray before we go any further. Father God, thank you for your gifts poured out to us. Thank you for your presence with us by your Spirit, and thank you for the gift of your word. We pray that as we spend time together gathered around your word, we might hear your voice and know you better, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. So no, we're not talking about profit this morning. We're not talking about making a profit and making big fat profits or anything like that. We are talking about prophecy. In our series, Thinking About the Holy Spirit, last week we reflected on the fact that spiritual gifts are for all. Remember, we've been thinking about the Spirit and transformation and how he transforms us. We've been thinking about the similarity, the Holy Spirit is like Jesus. And then we had a couple of weeks thinking about the fruit of the Spirit. And last week we thought about the gifts of the Spirit and what they're about. And today, as I said, we talked last week about the fact that those gifts are, in effect, they're for all. They are our birthright as followers of Jesus, that they come from God and they're for God. They're for God's purposes, for the common good. Gifts are an expression of faith which aims to strengthen faith. Different gifts we talked about, they might include things like wisdom, miraculous powers, healing, tongues, prophecy, hospitality, administration, leadership, teaching. Some of them that we might think as being natural, some of them we might think as being supernatural. But they are entirely within God's nature, and therefore they are should be entirely natural to those of us who follow Jesus. And here, this week, we come to this passage in 1 Corinthians 14. And the passage kicks off in verse 1 with a call to eagerly desire spiritual gifts. Do you eagerly desire gifts? Children are a good demonstration of what it means to eagerly desire gifts, aren't they? One of my daughters starts her Christmas list and posts it on her door on the 1st of September, normally. And of course, adults, we're not like that, are we? Oh, yes, we are. We just pretend otherwise, aren't we, in terms of gifts? And the great thing here is we've got permission to ask for gifts. Eagerly desire spiritual gifts. That gives us permission, carte blanche, to desire these gifts, these spiritual gifts, I hasten to add. And then, Paul says, having said, eagerly desire the spiritual gifts, he says, especially the gift of prophecy. So having said how important all the gifts are, there is a kind of hierarchy. Prophecy is rated as the most important gift to desire. And as an aside, here in this passage, in 1 to 5, he contrasts it with the gift of tongues, not because the gift of tongues is bad. Indeed, he says in verse 5, I'd like all of you to have the gift of tongues, but because prophecy is even better. And I certainly don't want you to think that he is somehow putting down or dissing the gift of tongues, especially as I'm going to talk about that next week. But if the gift of prophecy is so good, then what is it? And I want to try and answer the question with, in the classic, well, what, why, and how way of looking at it in terms of prophecy. So let's start with the what. And in a sense, we heard it already from Faye and Mark. But the simple answer to the question, what is prophecy, is hearing the voice of God and speaking it out. Hearing the voice of God and speaking it out. That might be to an individual, that might be to a group of people, but it's hearing the voice of God and speaking it out. So right at the very beginning, there's an important implication. And the important implication is that it is possible, indeed it is desirable, to hear the voice of God. And I'll unpack a little bit later what that might look like or what that might sound like. But that's an important starting point. If he says, desire the spiritual gift of prophecy, and prophecy is about hearing God and speaking it out, then we need to be able to hear the voice of God. Psalm 95 and verse 7, which we also had read, is that call to listen and not to harden our hearts. When the psalmist talks about don't be like you were at Meribah, it's an allusion to, well, you can see it in Exodus 17:7, when they're going, is the Lord among us or not? I'm not sure he is, therefore what's the point? One of those kind of moments. He said, don't harden your hearts like then. Then remember, the voice of the Lord is with you. And that psalm also reminds us that we are the sheep of God's pasture. And if we think about that, surely our minds go forward to John 10, when Jesus says, the sheep follow me because they know. They follow the shepherd because they know the shepherd's voice. My sheep follow me because they recognize, they know my voice. In the same way that a mother is able to distinguish their baby's cry, even if the rest of us might be going, it just sounds like a cacophony of crying babes to me, and you can just hear that one. Or if you're listening to something on the radio and you can hear someone's voice and recognize the voice. It's extraordinary how we do that with people that we know. I don't know how long it is since it's been on, and it's a test for you, for the older ones among you, and I won't ask for a show of hands, but there was the program This Is Your Life that used to be on TV while I was growing up, and I remember there was always, they brought all these people from the person's past, and they told stories about how wonderful they were, and there was always one who couldn't be there, and they'd sent some message from across. And then there was always the surprise that having said they weren't going to be there, they'd flown them away from Australia or whatever. But they kind of heard the voice of someone they hadn't heard for 30 or 40 years in the background, and they would recognize that person's voice. There is something extraordinary about how we recognize the voice of those whom we know. And that's good news, isn't it? Because it means not only do we have the word of God in Scripture, but God can continue to communicate with us beyond Scripture. Scripture is still the plumb line, the primary revelation of who God is, but he can continue to communicate with us beyond that. And it's probably just a word about what is prophecy not, or some of the things that people get worried about. Sometimes people get worried about Revelation 22:18, which says, don't add to the words of this book. But actually, that's saying, don't add to the words of the book of Revelation, and don't add to the written revelation of Jesus Christ for general significance. It's not saying, don't listen out for God's voice. And some people also get concerned when they think about the prophets of the Old Testament, and worried about, well, if I get it wrong, I'll be seen as a false prophet, and then maybe there are dire consequences for false prophets in the Old Testament. It's not like that. And you may ask, why am I so confident it's not like that? Well, the reason is, what's just come before chapter 14? It's not a trick question. Chapter 13. Thank you. It gets hard, these questions, don't they? And it's a key chapter, because it comes between chapter 12 and chapter 14. And what does chapter 13 do? It highlights the need for love. It's the chapter that is ripped out of its context so often, and I'm going to offend half of you here, and is read at weddings, completely decontextualized. I'd love to do a wedding sermon that actually took the whole of the context of 12 through to 14, it's about the body together and about the gifts and how we exercise the gifts of the Spirit, and how that hinge in the middle is that we need to do it out of love. That's what 1 Corinthians 13 is there for. But in that, it says, as well as highlighting the need for love and care, it says in verse 9, we prophesy in part. It says in verse 12 of 13, we see as in a glass darkly, or as in a mirror. And remember, when Paul talks about a mirror, we're talking about a piece of metal that's got a big shine on it, not like the kind of mirrors that we have today. So it's actually saying that our hearing is not perfect. We are jars of clay, but praise God, jars that God chooses to use. So there's a distinct difference between the prophets of the Old Testament and the prophecy that we're called to engage in as one of the gifts of the Spirit, that we're not necessarily going to get it perfect, which of course therefore means we've got to handle it with care. And what does hearing the voice of God seem like? Because I would say very few of us, or on very few occasions, is it an audible voice. But God speaks to us through pictures. He speaks to us through persistent thoughts. He speaks to us through impressions. He speaks to us, maybe he's speaking to us now through a mobile phone, we never know. He speaks to us through dreams. He speaks to us through coincidences. And if we have those senses, I would say, don't be frightened to ask God for some kind of confirmation, for some kind of clarity, for some kind of interpretation. If you think, I've got that persistent thought going in my head, say, Lord, what's it about? What are you saying to me? Thank you for opening up the conversation. Let's carry on that conversation. I guess what I'm saying is don't be frightened and think that it's something that it isn't. We can't be 100% sure that when we sense we're hearing God, it is God, and we'll return to that in terms of how we handle that in a moment. But if that's the question, what, then there's the question, why? Or maybe we might want to prefer it, what for? What's this for? And there Paul is very clear, in particularly in verse 3, and he goes on later on in the passage as well. Because you see, prophecy could be a dangerous tool, couldn't it? If it's actually hearing the voice of God and then speaking it out, what if I speak something out and it is not the voice of God? Couldn't that be damaging? So Paul puts some safeguards in here. He says, it's for upbuilding. It's for strengthening. He says that in verse 3 and also in verse 26. It's so helpful, isn't it, to hear maybe about a difficult issue we've faced or a decision that we've faced and then have God speak into it, often for confirmation. I remember one particular situation I was in, and I sensed that we'd received an invitation to a particular job. And it was a bit confusing because it was going back to somewhere I'd been before, and that seemed like a strange thing to do within the context of where my life was at the time. And someone shared a picture with me that they'd received, and in this picture, some of you will have heard this, I was stuck in mud, looking in one direction. Couldn't move because I was stuck in mud, and the sun was rising behind me. And I instantly knew that God was saying, turn around. Turn around and look the other way. It was good. It was okay to go back. Now, the person who received that picture, who thought it was for me, didn't have a clue about the circumstance, and they just offered it for me to weigh, for me to do what I thought of. On its own, that would have meant nothing. But because I was reflecting on this decision I had to make, it spoke into it. And I could give you other examples of that. I could tell you countless times when I've had the privilege of praying for people, and I've sensed God saying something, and I'm not sure, and I offer it lightly, and then they say afterwards, oh, that really spoke into the situation. Isn't that exciting? Because God can do immeasurably more than we can ever think or imagine. If I think those little snapshots, what else has he got for us? But it's about being upbuilding and strengthening. In that case, of course, it's upbuilding for the giver as well as the receiver. When you think, you know, I'm so encouraged when people do come and tell me that, because we need encouragement as well. But actually, oh, maybe I am not so dumb as I thought I was on this occasion. So it's for strengthening. Also, he says in verse 3, it's for encouragement. That's in verse 3. It's also in verse 31. I mean, the question is, how does God deliver challenging negative messages? Well, I think that takes a track record of trust with God. People he really can trust, who know they hear very clearly. So Paul's advice to the church is actually encouragement, upbuilding, strengthening, encouragement. And thirdly, consolation or comfort, also in verse 3. So these are all positive, loving, affirming things from a loving God. That's what primarily the gift of prophecy is for. And then also in verse 31, for learning. Because we're always wanting to grow in our knowledge of God, aren't we? So if we looked at the what and the why, then what about the how? I mean, first of all, you've got the how in the context of the body, and then the how as individuals. So let me look at how in the context of the body of Christ. The interesting thing about this passage is there is an assumption that when they meet, when the church meets, everyone comes with something to offer. When they meet, everyone comes with something to offer. Now, to be fair, the churches that Paul is talking into, the church in Corinth, is probably closer to the size of a large life group rather than the sort of gathering that we've got here. But the idea that everyone comes with something is the very opposite of a consumer we go to receive. It's the very opposite of something hierarchical. We go to listen and then we all just do what that person says. And the assumption is that they come with something to offer. Maybe it's just for one other person rather than necessarily for the whole church. But we come with expectant hearts that God will have something for us. He says, two or three prophets are to speak. So the assumption is it happens. God does speak, and God is speaking so much he needs to restrict it a bit for some good order. Wouldn't that be a nice problem to have? And then, very importantly, in verse 29, others weigh what has been said. There needs to be human consideration, human reflection, human interpretation, because we see in a glass darkly. And the way the Lord loves his church, he loves that we gather together. He says, where two or three or more are gathered in one name, there I am. There's something important about the checks and balances of there being more than one person involved in his communication with us. And it's one of the challenging, weighty responsibilities of leadership, to try to weigh these things. And it highlights the importance of team, that we don't do these things on our own. So we remember, how do we start to weigh? Well, part of it is the plumb line of Scripture. Does this seem in tune with what Scripture tells us? And then, does this resonate with our spirit? Does this seem to be of God? Now, that's very subjective. But the most things to do with the relationship aren't they? And that can happen outside of church services. This can happen walking down the high street. Paul's focus here is on when we're gathering, but let's not restrict God. So if that's how we pursue it in the context of the body, how do we pursue this as individuals? Eagerly desire the gift of prophecy, spiritual gifts, especially that you may prophesy. What does it mean to eagerly desire? Well, it's a lifetime pursuit. As we seek to tune in ever more to the voice of God. And I know that I always say a couple of years ago, and then think, well, it was probably pre-COVID, so it's probably a few years ago. But we did do that learning to hear God's voice. Some of the life groups did, I think we called them roots groups in those days. And so I've got Mark Aldridge's book, Learning to Hear God's Voice, which there was a course as well, which many of you did. And if you haven't done that, maybe it might be worth revisiting that. Or if you haven't done it, revisiting it. But Mark uses three words. He talks about availability, obedience, and humility. Availability, obedience, and humility. But availability is about that willingness to ask God, will you speak? Have you got something to say to me in this situation? The willingness to listen with Faye's big ears. Actually, if anyone's just tuned into the sermon, that sounds rude, doesn't it? A reference to the sketch we had earlier. To expect, to tune in, to be on the lookout that God might be speaking. One of the things I'm slightly ashamed to say is I know when I'm traveling off somewhere else as a visiting speaker, I probably am thinking and praying harder that I better have something to offer because they'll expect it from me. When I'm praying for people in that context, they'll think, he's this man of God who's come to visit us. He ought to have something. But actually, it's exactly the same in our home. All the time, any time. Making ourselves available. Thirdly, being obedient. The word used in the psalm for hear, Shema, the word hear also implies to obey. The implication within that Hebrew thinking is that you haven't really heard something until you've acted on it, which I think is quite helpful context. If we do hear God speak and we don't do anything about it, if I were God, I'd get a bit frustrated and I'd say, if I've got a message, I'm going to give it via someone else. There's a responsibility if we hear to do something about it. And thirdly, humility. See, that posture in verse 95 is a posture of bowing, of kneeling, of being like sheep before the shepherd, not to lord it over people. James says, God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. Are we willing to try to be a clear channel, one whom God can trust? So that's just a brief rattle through what prophecy is about, according to Paul here in 1 Corinthians 14. It is a lifetime pursuit. It does take practice. Maybe the place we practice is in the safety of our life groups. when I do training on the prophetic or I do prayer ministry training anywhere, one of the things I always do is I get people into little groups of four and I make them listen out to what God is saying to the other, to one of the other, three of them listening for one, and then they move around, three of them listening to one. And you only give about 30 seconds. God doesn't take long to listen, to have to speak to us. And everyone is always amazed at how God speaks. Not only how God speaks to them, but how he speaks through them. Let's have a hunger to hear God's word, just as we want to have a hunger for scripture. Because isn't connection with God a worthwhile goal? Isn't that the most important lifetime pursuit that we've got? That we might hear God, that we might be close to God, we might speak the voice of God into our lives and into others' lives. In a moment, Sarah's going to come and lead us in a time of response, but as part of that response, I just want to encourage you to do this. I'm going to ask you in a moment just to think about one person. If you're in this room, then I suggest think about someone in this room. If you're joining us online, then you've got the freedom who you want to choose. But think about someone as part of this congregation. It might be someone you know. It might be someone as you look across the room you don't know. I'm going to ask you to ask God to have something to say to that person that is strengthening, encouraging, or comforting. And then if you sense something very vague, a little picture, an odd word, or something that maybe doesn't quite make sense, then after the service, I'm going to ask you to have the courage to go and actually share that with them. No one's going to force you. But if you want to walk on water, what have you got to do? Get out the boat. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for your desire to speak to us. And I never want to put you to the test, Lord. But I do want to strengthen us and encourage us. So as my brothers and sisters here, even now, are having that person in their mind, come, Holy Spirit, and speak in the way that you choose. A picture, an impression, a thought. Come strengthen us. Come build us up. Come comfort us.